Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Okay, you call Jefferson America's founding gardener. He had a good garden?
Fantastic. It's absolutely gorgeous.
He had a little bit of an advantage over modern gardeners in that he had slaves, though. Because those guys I pick up in front of the Home Depot, they're cheap, but they're not slaves. Okay?
Yeah.
A lot of Americans, my understanding is, do their gardening in their closet with a grow light. Yeah. What does that say about us? What does that say about America as a culture?
We're a culture that values our privacy.
And our munchies. Thank you so much for joining.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a kolachki's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. And true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. He's seriously, strenuously, and severely green, and it gives him a headache every week. Here he is, Mike Novak.
In the main, right.
Hey, Denny, I got good news for you.
What's that?
I liked your Facebook page.
Oh, really? All right. Yeah. 8 likes now.
Are you online there? Did you get it? And Sarah Batka, our very own Cook County Master Gardener Coordinator.
You're good.
I'm sorry, I didn't have your mic.
I think I did it.
You can. Oh, did you do that?
I turned it off.
Oh, you turned your own mic off. Okay. Let me give you a clue. When it says O-N, that's when you're on the air.
Got it.
Okay. It's just a tip. But Sarah's going to like you as well. And, of course, we're talking about, for those of you who follow us after listening to Our Town, tell us about your Facebook page, Denny.
Oh, it's the weekend for the cheap. All the broke and cheap people in the city. Well, if you need something to do. Well, you can check out the Weekend for the Cheap and, things like free mini bun from Cinnabon.
Where and when is the free mini bun from Cinnabon?
September 25th. That is Tuesday. So all the broke folks out there, get your mini bun on, you know?
Denny, I prefer the term frugal.
Oh, frugal. There you go. Yeah, you're right.
Because I'm the frugal food gal.
Frugal food gal.
That's her Twitter handle.
Oh, man, we'd love to have you on the Weekend for the Cheap, frugal food gal. That's just a radio segment waiting to happen.
I can't give away all my secrets.
That's fine.
Yes, you can. This is radio. You know, we're honest here. We just part of the whole radio thing is you just spill your guts.
Oh, yeah.
On a Sunday morning.
Spill your guts and show up in sweatpants if you want. It's radio. It's radio.
I've been known to show up in pajamas here, you know?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As long as you sound fantastic, you don't have to look fantastic.
That's right. It's just me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. And begin. I see that you've got 11 likes now.
Oh, my.
You're up to 11.
Okay, here comes one more.
All right.
And bam.
Oh,
so all of you listening right now, let's give Denny the Mike Novak Show bump. That should get you at least 3.
Color me flattered.
I've tried to give my own show a bump. Doesn't work. We just crossed over 600 on my show. Oh. You know, Dick Cable come on Saturday, goes, well, you can't. you can't be my friend anymore. I've got 27,000 friends,
oh,
so go and like me on... So we're trying to get, I've got 600 now. I want 600,000 by the end of the day.
You want those Dick K numbers.
Yeah, I want those Dick K numbers. He's been doing this a lot longer in town than I have. So, so here's what I'm telling folks. Go to Facebook right now. Go to Weekend for the Cheap.
Good man. Thank you.
Go to Weekend for the Cheap and like it. I'm going to refresh and see how many we've got now.
If you have any cheap living tips.
Look at this. It's going up even as we... Yeah, cheap living. I'll tell you what. Go there. I want you to monitor your Facebook page today. We're up to 14, the way. We're just... It's like crazy.
You're better than this than I am. Where do you see 14 at? I can't even see it.
I just refreshed the page. That's all.
Oh. Boop.
There it is.
Oh, Lord.
All right. And so what I want you to do, since it is the Mike Novak Show... Denny's all excited.
That's great.
And I want you to post, not only to like Weekend for the Cheap, but I want you to post a frugal or cheap, I don't care which word you use, gardening tip.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Cross-promotion.
Cross-promotion. This is how we make it work. Not just a gardening tip, but perhaps a place where you can get supplies. Some gardening supply or an environmental cheap tip. How you can save the planet on the cheap.
Yeah.
Because nobody's actually spending money to try to save the planet. So let's do it on the cheap. So go to Weekend for the Cheap. I'm just going to plug it mercilessly.
You are, man. Plugging it.
I mean, this is your one opportunity because by next week I will have forgotten all about it.
I want that Snappy Dog guy on my page. Come on, Snappy Dog. Snappy J Dog, is that his name?
Her.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Snappy J is a her.
Oh.
Snappy,
my apologies.
You got to. That's okay. And speaking of our Twitter friends, Snappy often tweets to us, but My Skinny Garden tweeted, says, we need a frost report, stat. Yeah, we do, don't we? But that's what Rick DeMaio does, and he will be here at 9:45. And, you know, not only do I want to get a frost report from Rick, we have to talk about the polar ice caps and the report that that came out this week that the sea ice has retreated to 1.32 million square miles. Okay, now... You go, yeah, that sounds like a lot, but it's an all-time low, and they're talking about the possibility of the ice cap, at least in the summer, disappearing within a few years. That's just, that's insane. So, and I know Rick teaches this stuff, and I want to get his information on that as well. And the other thing I'm going to tell you is... to call us today, 773-763-9278, 773-763-9278, because the whole show is devoted just to that. We want folks to give us a call, and we're going to answer garden questions. And how are we going to do that, or why are we going to do that? I don't know. Why? Why is always the answer. I have no idea why, because it's what I do. But I've got my buddy Dan Costa in the studio. He's from Vern Goer's Greenhouse in Hinsdale. Say hi, Dan.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Dan. Good morning.
And
Dan is one of my regulars, certainly on... on Twitter now, you've become a Twitter guy.
Yeah, now I got to get some followers.
Yeah, well,
welcome
what's
to my
your
world,
handle?
Buddy.
That's right.
Yeah, I've got two.
Oh, Dan, tell us your handle.
Little Trees.
Got it. Perfect. Oh, that's awesome.
So, and Dan knows a lot of stuff, and the reason he calls himself Little Trees, you're up to 21 likes, dude. Denny.
Oh man, blowing up.
It's just look at that. I love my listeners. You guys are great. Just keep hitting Weekend for the Cheap. Let's see if we got a tip yet on there. Not yet.
No. It says Mike Nowak's Madison, Wisconsin secret agent likes Weekend for the Cheap.
Oh, yeah. I know who that is. Oh, wait. I'm the wrong one. That's the thing with when you have a public thing. You have your post and then post by others. That's David Zaber.
yep.
up in Madison who listens to the show. Let's see who else we get. And get us a tip there. And, you know, maybe I'll give, if somebody puts a tip up there, maybe I'll give something away.
Oh, wow.
You know, I got the bag of goodies here that I never.
Oh, I think we got one.
Do we?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's refresh here. Oh, there's Annie Haven. She's in California. So you got yourself a California hit there.
Oh, cowabunga.
You can save money and improve your soil with Moo Poo Tea. Annie, that's not a tip. That's a plug. There's a difference, Annie. I love you. I love you, but that's a plug. Okay, but so you don't get a prize, Annie. She's with Moo Poo Tea. It's manure tea. You can go to www.manuretea.com. You can use it on your veggies. You can use it on your indoor plants. You could, I think you can bathe in it. I'm not sure. But the Moo Poo, yeah. The bath salts part of the Moo Poo tea.
It may take me a while to convince me to use that one for a bath.
I just made that up.
No.
So, okay. Annie, that's a plug. But that's okay. You just got your plug. Our phone number is 773-763-9278. If you've got a question. And, of course, you can always tweet me. Mike Now is the handle. Snappy J Dog just tweeted, you talking about me? So say she's there. So Snappy J.
Go.
You got to go like a weekend for the cheap. We're going to talk about some of the things that have been going on. We got a few events coming up. Frost coming up. I guess some of you, if you had frost on the ground this morning.
Nothing in Westchester.
Yeah, but Westchester, that's not far enough away from the city, man.
That's as far as I care about.
Yeah, I know. But if you're out in DeKalb, if you're out in Winnebago, if you're out in Kane, maybe you had some frost. Give us a call. Give us a frost report. And then, of course, Rick DeMeyer will be here at 9:45. In the meantime, we're going to take any and all gardening questions, 773-763-9278. I have to say, one of the reasons that Dan Costa from Vern Growers Greenhouse is here, and do they know that they're getting this big plug?
I told them.
Do they care?
Sure.
Oh, good. Tell them we'll talk about advertising later, okay?
Okay.
One of the reasons I brought Dan in is because I bring him in at least once a year. It's usually once a year.
Yeah, that's all he lets me on.
I know. Because you're scary. You'll take over the show. Actually, he's the bonsai guy. And Denny, aren't these things just, he brought in some examples of bonsai into the studio. Now, we need the cameras.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. Mighty House had the cameras yesterday. This would have been perfect for the cameras.
We're gonna get the cameras in here, too.
All right.
Yeah, we're definitely doing that. And Mighty House and I are, I'm letting him work out the bugs.
There you go.
Because he's got peeps there. He's got peeps all over the place on Saturday morning, Ron Cowgill.
You're busy enough.
I'm busy enough.
Speaking of which, the show, Dig In.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. That's another thing I have to tell people. Okay, here's the deal. With Dig In Chicago, I should have done that. And by the way, I should have done that for Annie's Moo Poo Tea as well. There we go.
There you go.
Final week on the air for Dig In Chicago for this season. And one of the things Comcast has done is given us a bunch of airings all week. Tonight, 8 p.m.
Cool.
Tomorrow, 8 p.m. Tuesday, 8 p.m. Wednesday, all week, 8 p.m. We're in primetime, baby. Jennifer Brennan and me. Dig In Chicago, Comcast Channel 102. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, and you can always go to mydiginchicago.com. The Facebook page, and the Facebook page, the website, mydiginchicago.com. But this week, we're in primetime. Blow off one of those new shows, because you can always TiVo it or something, or everybody, all the networks now have on-demand stuff. Mm-hmm. You can always go online and take a look at your show. Check out Dig In Chicago this week, because it's our final week. And then next weekend, it's like a Diggin' Palooza, I think 8 a.m., 9 a.m., and 10 a.m.
Nice.
On Saturday. So this is an opportunity to catch us in prime time, and I hope you do. And if you do and you like it, drop me a line, mike@mikenovak.net. You can always post something on my Facebook page, The Mike Novak Show. And I hope folks will do that. So back to Mr. Dan Costa here with your beautiful bonsai in the studio. Now, we never have enough. You're up to 25 likes, by the way,
Dan. I saw that.
Okay. We just tripled them for you, baby. Dan, I know I always shortchange you on the bonsai. Today, you're... Have at it, pal.
Okay.
Just go nuts. I mean, you've got three
trees I brought in today.
And we have three trees in the studio. You got to love that. And, of course, the tallest one is...
The tallest one is an eastern red cedar, which is our native juniper. It's the one you see around on these roads and the interchanges. A lot of times you see those kind of candle-shaped, dark evergreens.
I've got one growing in my yard. Now, I don't know if it's an eastern... red cedar. It might
be. Most likely.
Well, because that's the one, the birds eat the berries, and then they poop out the...
Distribute the seeds.
And one ended up in my yard. Now it's about 4 feet tall. I've been watching it grow for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's 4 feet tall, and it's the most beautiful shape.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Very sweet. In fact, it's going to be featured in Chicagoland Gardening Magazine in the November-December issue.
Good.
The editor, Carolyn Ulrich, said, I want you to write about my favorite plant. Can you do something on conifers? I said, what do I know about conifers?
Okay.
Except that I have one growing by accident in my backyard.
Well, that's how that one started.
Which one? This one? The one you have?
Yeah, the juniper. That was a seedling that came up in my backyard, and that was dug out of the garden in 1987.
Okay.
And I put it into a large nursery container and let it grow for quite a few years in there. And every once in a while, I took a stab at doing a little work on it, pruning it down and everything. But eventually, it got too tall. It has two trunks. And the main one, the thicker one, just got too tall for bonsai use. So I had to figure out what to do with it. So I intentionally cut that one back and stripped all the bark off of it.
To kill that particular trunk. Maybe it was an artistic statement. It is very artistic.
It represents a tree that was killed or died back because of some natural event, like a lightning strike or a bad storm or something that would have killed it. And so it died back. And then the secondary trunk became the new main, because that's the live trunk. And so that one would be representing like a replacement that the tree grew to replace what was lost. And then also on that trunk, there's some dead branches sticking off to the sides. And those would represent branches that had, again, died in a storm or something, or just died as the tree got taller. Because if you look at the tall evergreens in nature, a lot of times the bottom branches are all dead. There's all twigs and snags that come off to the sides. And those are just old branches that died out. So we represent that in the bonsai because we try to do something that looks like something that would actually happen in the natural world.
It's really beautiful, and I love that it kind of tells a story.
Every good bonsai should have a story behind it. They're fiction stories, but there should be some representation of a story of a lifetime of a real tree.
That's interesting. See, I didn't realize that. For me, the story would be, how do I keep this thing alive? Because and that's the tricky part of doing bonsai. I mean, let's get really back to the basics here about how you do that, because you've got a tree that's like a foot and a half tall here. That's your big one.
Yeah.
That's the large one. But the container, let's see, hold on. I'm going to take a look.
The container is like about 12 inches.
Yeah. It's like 6 inches by 12.
And about 2 inches deep.
All right. And now that tree lives outdoors, right?
All year round, yes.
Okay.
Summer and winter.
Why do you have to do that?
Because it's a hardy temperate zone tree, hardy zone 5. And so it needs the winter conditions. It needs the natural conditions.
Mm-hmm.
take a tree like that and put it in the house, it's got about 6 months before it's going to die out.
Why?
Because
Why,
well, the house is constantly warm. It doesn't get the dormancy during the winter. The light is not as bright as it would be outdoors. The humidity level is different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a totally foreign environment to that tree. So it can't adapt to being in this new environment and still maintain itself.
But
so
people
it needs
who,
natural environment.
Okay, so but people who are doing this for the first time, mm-hmm. okay, for one thing, you gave me a great lesson several years ago. I got a bonsai gift, which was mm-hmm. What was it, the one that they always give you? I'm trying to remember what plant.
Oh, juniper.
That's what you have here.
Yeah.
It was a juniper, mm-hmm. and you said it was a death sentence.
Yeah, well, junipers are great as a starter plant as long as they're grown as an outdoor tree.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing that, you know, a lot of times the instructions that you get are all wrong. They'll tell you to keep it indoors. I've seen
Oh, well, that's
ones
good.
That,
you've been buying the instructions are all wrong. Okay.
And I've seen ones that have instructions that say to water it, keep it in a dish of water, mist it 3 times a day. And if you look at junipers in the natural environment, they're growing out in exposed locations where they get lots and lots of sun. The soil dries out between rains and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not a tree that wants to be coddled. It's actually a tree that takes a little more harsh seeming treatment. So once, as a bonsai, you want to keep it outdoors in a sunny location. Mine gets sun all day long from dawn to dusk. You want to watch the watering. You should check every day and see what the soil is like.
I mean, but that's part of the deal, right? Mm-hmm. You got to check the water every day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's best because the pots are shallow and the soil is very well drained.
So especially if you had one out this summer.
You water it every single day.
And maybe more or not?
No. Once
not
a day
necessary, even in a drought and heat.
Yeah, once a day, as long as you're watering good and, you know, not just sprinkling a little water on the top.
Yeah.
As long as you're watering good, once a day is enough. But they don't need all the misting in it, and certainly don't want to live in a dish of water. They want the...
In addition, other than watering, how often do you fertilize?
Throughout the growing season, I usually start around the end of May
mm-hmm.
and go till the middle or end of August. If I can, I have a fertilizer I use at this time of year, which has zero nitrogen in it, so mm-hmm. it doesn't promote any growth. It builds up the roots and builds up the resistance to the winter conditions.
It's interesting. So you use fertilizer with no nitrogen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And did you ever use nitrogen?
In the spring and summer, yes. But in the after about the 15th of August, you want to switch to a zero nitrogen fertilizer because you want the tree to stop growing, prepare for winter, and get ready for the dormancy. So the phosphorus and the potassium help to build up the root system and help to build up resistance to stress. And that's mm-hmm. what you want for the wintertime. So you don't want to push out new growth because the growth won't harden off before the frost hit and kill it back. So we don't want to put new growth.
Well, in that regard, it's like a lot of different plants. Mm-hmm. It's like a rose. You know, you shouldn't. Yeah. Here's a tip for you if you're listening. And by the way, I got a tip from Laurel Nilsson. I'll get to that in a second here on Facebook. Yeah. Denny's giving us a thumbs up there. Mm-hmm. But your roses, don't prune them now.
Right.
You know, a lot of people mm-hmm. get to this time of year and they go, well, it's time to make the garden neat,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I need to prune the rose.
Yeah.
Don't do that now, you know, because what it sends a signal to the plant, it releases these hormones that tell the plant it needs to send up new shoots.
Mm-hmm.
And the new shoots are going to be weak and...
Yeah, they won't harden by winter.
Right. And you're just so you're weakening the plant rather mm-hmm. than helping it out. What I do is at this time of year, you know, if I haven't pruned my rose by August and I rarely get around to it in my roses, I just let them go until the spring, you mm-hmm. know, and then I hack them back. Now, some people want to hack them back because they want to put a cone over them or something like that. I know. Yeah, I just,
not a good idea.
I don't get the whole cone, rose cone thing. Sarah, do you get that? Have you seen a lot of that?
Yeah. And they're like little death traps.
Yeah, that's what they are.
Mold makers.
Mold makers and death traps. Folks, if you're putting cones on your roses, You've got little death traps.
Yeah, try some leaf mulch instead. Pile it up with leaf mulch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Much better.
Yeah. Part of the problem with the cones is there are a couple of things. First, you're cutting your rows back so it'll fit in the cone half the time. So you're sending the wrong signal. Like I said, you're telling the plant that it needs to start growing
again.
Yeah,
it wants to replace that.
Right. So you've done that wrong. Then you put the cone on it, and instead of staying in dormancy, the cone gets all heated up sometimes on a warm summer day with some sun, and it's trying to get out of dormancy again. You know, just let it go dormant.
Yeah, just leave it alone. It's better.
Yeah. So,
growing bonsai is a lot like any other plants. People get scared about doing it, and they think it's so technical and difficult. But, you know, just like you say with the roses, it's the same procedures with that. You still have to prune. You still have to fertilize.
Mm-hmm.
But you prune any plant in your yard. You know, people say to me, well, when you're trimming them back like that, isn't that hurting it? Well, you trim your hedge and you don't worry about it. You cut your lawn, you don't worry about it. Both of those are the same thing. You're taking off growth.
You deadhead, perennials back as well.
Mm-hmm. And as far as repotting, well, a lot of times when you repot a houseplant, you take some roots off as you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what keeps them small anyways. We only root prune when the tree needs to be transplanted so we can make room for fresh soil, take off the older roots.
So what does keep them small? Just the size of the container?
Keeping them trimmed.
Oh, that's the thing. So it's
pinched and pruned.
So if you grew it in that container and you continued to fertilize it, it would try to get as large. How large would it get? It's only got that little tiny root mass there.
If I didn't prune or pinch that tree, it'd probably grow about another 6-8 inches before it would just run out of ability because of the constriction of the container itself.
Uh huh.
But when you root prune, every time you cut a root, it branches out into 2 or 3 or 4 new tips, and the tips are what do all the feeding. The rest of the root is just a pipe, basically. It takes the material from the tip into the system of the plant itself. And so the more tips you have on the roots, the more efficient the root system becomes. It can feed better, take up more nutrients, take up more water much more efficiently. So when we root prune, we're renewing the root system, making it more efficient, more able to live in those small containers. And so that's why the tree is able to survive better, because it has lots of feeding potential. So in bonsai, really, a lot of times what we have is a very old top of the tree with what's virtually a very young root system, because we're trimming it back and it's renewing.
And speaking of that, you have a plant here that's over 100 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a ponderosa pine.
I just saw a bunch of ponderosa pines. I was out in Denver,
yeah,
and out in the Black Hills of South, mm-hmm, Dakota, ponderosa pines all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them dying because of the mountain pine beetle. It's just sad. The whole swaths of mountains that are being devastated. And what, mm-hmm, and when you drive by now, like we got to one of the passes in Wyoming, right at the top of the, mm-hmm, the mountain, where at least as high as the road. Went there, and at the very top was where most of the damage was.
Yeah.
And I would say 90% of the trees were dead.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of problems going on out west now.
Yeah. Huge problems. But, and some of it related to climate change, mm-hmm, and the fact that these beetles can overwinter now where they couldn't in the past. And so they just, it's a feeding frenzy all year long.
Yeah. There's a lot of troubles going on. But like that tree there, if that was growing in a good location where it could actively grow to full size, that tree could be a couple hundred feet tall by now. But because of the area where it was growing, it's like little pockets in the rock where high in the mountains where moss and junk starts growing in the rocks, and a seed will drop into there and germinate at some point and then start to grow. But it's restricted as far as its root system, so it can't spread out big. And then the area where that one came from gets about 10 feet of snow on it every winter. So as the tree grows up a little bit during the summer, then the snow comes and presses it down and bends the tree and flattens it out. And then the next season it starts to grow up a little bit again. Winter comes and bends it down again. So it keeps them very short like that.
So for those of you who wonder, and you're driving, people like me, and say, well, how can that tree be growing out of a rock? Well, take a look at the bonsai. It's growing out of this little tiny container. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same principle, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very similar to the condition it had in nature.
Yeah.
The pot's a little smaller probably than what it had, because when I got it, it came in a box that was about 24 inches long and about 12 inches
wide.
Okay,
now you say it's over 100 years old. Did you inherit it from somebody?
No, I actually purchased it as a plant in a workshop for our club several years back. I got it in like 87, 88, something like that. We had a guy, there are people out in the Colorado area and South Dakota areas who are basically professional collectors. They have permission to go up into the pasture lands and that and collect trees from there. And they have environmental responsibility, and you know, they know how to refill the holes and take care of things so that this doesn't look like somebody's been out there digging stuff up all the time. And they bring those back and plant them up and let them settle down in wooden boxes that they just built to fit the size of the root ball, and let them sit in their yards or at their places. And then the trees, after they've settled down, then they'll offer the ones that they don't want to keep, they'll offer those for sale. And so this guy came out from Colorado with a bunch of trees, and we did a workshop. So everybody that wanted, from our club that wanted to do it, signed up. We paid our money. We showed up one day, and the trees were available, and then we got our trees
and
worked with the master, and then the master, who was the guy who collected, instructed us and helped us along to shape and style the trees.
And how did he know how old these were?
Because they also, well, for one thing, he collects in the same areas, so he has some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But also they'll take dead wood and physically count the rings.
Ah.
And then if like 100 years is,
I forgot there's that little trick about trees. You count the rings, then you know.
If there's 100 rings in an inch or so of diameter, well, then you figure that something that grew nearby, that if it's an inch in diameter, is probably about 100 years old.
That makes sense.
Totally. And the wood on that tree is very, very hard because the rings are so close together.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like cement when you try to work on it.
Well, that's Dan Costa from Fern Goers Greenhouse in Hinsdale. I got to get some business done here, but you're welcome to call 773-763-9278 if you got a question about a bonsai. I doubt that we have that many out there, but any question, I'm just being honest with you. And we'll plug your event. The Prairie State Bonsai Society is having an event next weekend.
Yes.
We got some other events that we're going to talk about. And I've got a couple of tips that came in. We'll get to that in just a second. However, it's pop quiz time. Bet you didn't see that coming. All right. Here's the question. What do compass plant, Rudbeckia herbstone, Harrington's pin aster, angelica, and Joe Pye weed have in common? Anything? Yes?
Natives.
Oh, well.
Yes.
I don't think herbstone. No. That's a variety.
All the daisy family.
Are they? I'm not sure. They might. No. Joe Pye weed? I don't think so.
I think it is.
Is it?
Butterfly attractors.
No, you're not going to get it. That is, besides being featured in the September-October issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, well, they're plants that make a statement because they are all 4 feet tall or better, some getting up to 10 feet in height. There's a story in the magazine that teaches you how to get over your fear of tall plants, you know, and a lot of people do. They're just afraid to put those in their yard because they think, they're going to take over. Oh, my goodness. Here's let me give you a gardening tip. Here's my gardening tip. Put the big plants behind the little plants. You can say you heard it on the Mike Novak show. And Denny's nodding. He's got it. Okay, good. Anyway, if you look into Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, you'll read the story and learn about some of these wonderful, wonderful plants that are taller than you might be comfortable with and how to get comfortable with them. Then there's an article about how two Chinese brothers They happened to be artists as well, came to Chicago, moved into a Polish community center in the Bridgeport neighborhood. It's a virtual United Nations story. And they created a stunning garden in about 2 weeks that has become a place to drink wine and, well, party hardy. It's really cool. Then there's my column on the inside back page. It's a party every issue. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over town, or get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Hot, dry summers are hard on our lawns and landscapes. Use Milorganite fertilizer to help your lawn and landscape survive the stressful summer season. Hi, I'm gardening expert Melinda Myers. The organic nitrogen in Milorganite is slow release and non-burning, even during drought. The fertilizer will be in place and ready to work when better growing conditions and moisture return, so there's no need to water it in. Plus, the 4% iron promotes deep green growth. Milorganite, for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com for a garden center near you.
Thank you, Melinda Myers. And for those of you, and I mentioned this yesterday on Mighty House, those of you thinking about your lawns, this is the time. This is right now. And some of those lawns got kind of beat up because of the heat. But now's the time to rejuvenate them. You know, the key I'm going to say is overseeding. And add some compost. And, you know, there's other things you could do. You could core aerate and do other things. But if you're going to do nothing else, my feeling is if your lawn got thin on you and you want to kind of crowd out the weeds, get some seed down. I think folks tend to forget that this grass is a plant too, and sometimes you got to replace the plant. So that's my tip. And a tip from the Care of Trees. I know I talk about their 24-hour emergency service from time to time, but it really hits home when I get a call like I did from a friend of mine this week. Guess what? A big tree fell in his yard, and he wanted to know. I know that's not funny, but he wanted to know if the Care of Trees could handle it. Of course, I told him to call 847-394-4220 and tell them that Mike sent him. And I want you to do the same thing. I don't even care if you mention my name. If you live in the Chicago area and you have a tree emergency, you need the Care of Trees. They offer 24-hour service to get the job done safely while minimizing further risk to your property. The Care of Trees shares your enthusiasm for the many ways trees enhance the quality of your life. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Okay, all together now.
What do you?
I've even got dancing in here.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Oh, there we go. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. I see that Annie Haven has called in. I'm going to get to her in a second, and we also have to get to weather. But so let's go to. I'm going to start with line two, and that is I can almost read it. Glenn.
Yep.
Glenn? Yes, this is Glenn. Hi.
Hi, good morning. You're on the Mike Novak Show. What's up?
I got a question for Dan about bonsai.
Okay. Wow, a bonsai question.
Good.
Yeah, there you go.
A bonsai question just poured in.
I do have several of those little juniper seedlings popping up in my yard. It happens every year because the birds do their job.
Oh, yeah.
And every year I say I'm going to do something with one of those things, but every year I keep digging them up. So this year I'm bound to determine to do something with them. I don't know. They're only seedlings. They're maybe 2 or 3 inches tall. But what's the best way to go about trying to start them as a bonsai? Should I leave them in the ground for a couple of years, or can I pot them up? And
what you should do in the springtime is dig them up, put them into a good-sized pot. If they're 3 inches tall, you can put them into like a one-gallon nursery can. It's like a six-inch black pots that you get at the nursery. Plant in that and let it just grow for a period of a couple of years or so until it fills that out and gets a little height to it. And then you can go to a larger pot, and you're probably going to have to develop the tree for about 4 or 5 years to fatten up the trunk, because once you plant them in the bonsai pot, the trunk diameter, virtually no increase. So you got to fatten up the trunk part first and then and get some branches going on it, and then you can start actually working on the tree and shaping it.
And how careful do you have to be about shaping it? Now, for instance, I've got that juniper growing in my yard. Is it about the right? It's 4 feet tall. Would that be a good one to put in a pot?
Because by now that's gotten some diameter to the trunk.
Yeah.
And so you could get it out of the soil in your garden, plant it up in a good-sized container, and then let it sit for a year to regenerate the root system, because you're going to lose some when you transplant it. And after about a year, if the tree starts to look like it's growing vigorously, then start thinking about how you're going to shape it. You always have to have an idea of what it's going to look like in the future before you start working on it. You don't want to just start by cutting something off here or trying to shape it. You know, look at how these trees grow in nature, the shapes you see in nature, and then try to replicate that to some degree in the bonsai that you're going to create from them.
So I guess it sounds, Glenn, like you've got to let it grow a little bit here. And pick one of them and let it grow a little bit, and then you can start to mess with it.
That sounds fine, because I'm a patient man. Now, when I do eventually dig it up, what kind of, should I pot it up in native soil or pottingless mix, or what should I use?
Good potting soil, a good quality potting soil.
Okay.
All right. I think that so. So call me back in 6 years, and let me know, Glenn, how it's going.
I'm still around. I will definitely call you back.
All right. Thanks for calling in, buddy. Bye-bye. There's just 1 week until the Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center Fall Fest on September 29th and 30th. That's right next weekend. In the Ukrainian Village neighborhood, there will be tons of pumpkins and fall decor, not to mention a grand prize that you could win. Bring your dog for a family photo, a great Christmas card opportunity, or family photo opportunity. Receive a free print and ability to order lots of other items with your photo on it. Dress up your dog. Boy, they've got a thing for dogs. Dress up your dog and he gets a free, or she gets a free rawhide bone reward. Woof. And there will be a grand prize for the winner of the dog costume. It's also spring blooming bulb open house. Select the best bulbs from the best selection from Holland they have ever had. And no fall festival would be complete without a hayride. And Christy Weber herself will be driving the wagon down Grand Avenue. It's all next week, September 29th and 30th. Go to Facebook and like Christy Weber Farm and Garden Center. Hey, we got Denny some likes on Facebook today. You can do it too. Christy Weber Farm and Garden Center, or go to ChristyWeber.com and click on Garden Center, or just stop by 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village. Look for the explosion of color.
And Mike, is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
And you wanted to do a shout-out, Sarah Batka.
Yeah, Mike, I was going to say that if you do go over to Christy Weber for the Fall Festival, you can say hi to the... They've got two hens there, a big fat one named Buttercup. And Christy Weber's other location on the west side of the city is one of the sites of the Windy City Coop Tour, which today is the final
That's
day.
That's right. Today is the final day of the Windy City Coop Tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can get the map at chicagochickens.org and say hi to Buttercup over there.
Over at Christy Weber. And I'll tell you what, in the second hour, let's talk about your chickens have a big surprise this mm-hmm. week, so we'll talk about that. My name is Mike Novak, and I'm here to help you with your bulb selection so you can have a beautiful spring. First, go to LandrithSeeds.com and order a copy of the D. Landrith Seed Company heirloom bulb collection featuring garlic and flowers. Then consider unique bulbs like the New Zealand heirloom Narcissus, Hawera. Anybody, you're familiar with that one?
Yeah.
You know that one? Mm-hmm. I should have known you knew that one. Dan Costa. Gosh. It's a delicate little thing, only 12 inches high, introduced in 1927 by its developer, Dr. William Thompson of Hawera, New Zealand. It has interesting, thin, rush-like foliage and a flower that strongly indicates its two parents, Narcissus jonquilla and Narcissus triandus. Each stem produces 6 to 8 pale lemon-yellow blossoms, which bloom successively, so that's kind of cool. So the plant is in flower for a long time. It is lovely as a grouping in a garden, but also striking when allowed to naturalize into a grassy area. I always recommend.
Which is where mine has gone into the grass.
I'll tell you what, go to Landrith Seed Co., Landrith Seed Co. on Facebook right now. Check out Hawera Narcissus. Click on the links and order online. It's that simple. Or call 800-654-2407. 800-654-2407. D. Landrith Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. In the studio with me today, Dan Costa from Vern Goer's Greenhouse in Hinsdale, and Sarah Batka, Master Gardener Coordinator for Cook County, is here again joining me. And on the phone, the inimitable Rick DeMaio. How you doing, Rick?
Good, Mike. I just wanted to say that I think we've had great, you know, conversations over the years, And I don't plan to change them any way, shape, or form. And I think the other 47% love is what we've been doing out there. No need for a change, Mike. No need for a change. Steady as she goes.
Or hope. No hopey, changey stuff on this show?
No hopey, changey stuff. And I love Janesville, Wisconsin, one of my favorite cities.
Oh, wow. Just, you can't resist, can you? It's like red meat for Rick DeMaio. See, well, I try to steer clear of that stuff, and then you get on the show. That's okay. You can drag me into it. It's fun.
No, I mean, usually just before I get on with you, I'm listening to the radio and also watching the David Gregory, you know, Meet the Press forum. And even though the sound is dead, I can actually read the lips and the facial features and kind of know what people are talking about.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's, you know, because all you have to do is have the talking points in your hand and then watch their lips move, and it's the same thing, right?
And when you see people leaning forward, trying to get their face into the camera so the camera that's shooting the person who's talking, they can't shoot anyone, they have to go wide, then they know that that's the case. That's when you kind of get into that point and you start to deliver your talking point. It's all about knowing how to interrupt the other person, right?
Exactly. But we're a civilized show here. We are totally civilized.
But, you know, I was listening to you earlier and, you know, talking about some of the cold weather that moved through the area. Some of the overnight lows, 38 in Aurora, 37 in Barrington, 39 in the Botanic Gardens. But what's interesting is the soil temperature about 2 inches below What we call the sod is about 57 degrees, and about 2 inches below bare soil is about 52. So the ground temperature is still doing pretty warm. We didn't have any frost or freeze, obviously, last night. We didn't get cold enough, but...
Okay, that's good, because some people had tweeted to me that they wanted the frost report, but there really is no frost report.
No. And, you know, and if there was any frost, it was probably a little bit on top of a garage, you know, like basically a detached garage, I always say, is the best place to get frost. So probably not on the ground. Good rule of thumb, Mike, this time of the year, and this is where I like to give people... their own way of measuring whether or not they're going to get frost, because frost is such a localized phenomenon. It really is tough to forecast. The best thing to do is, if you have about 4 hours of direct sunlight, and if you get up to a temperature about 58 degrees this time of the year, it's like a 99% chance that you will not get frost. So 58 degrees and about 4 hours of sunlight, and that's enough for the ground temperature to remain, you know, rather warm, because that's where the frost develops. It develops because the ground is cooling off.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always develop because the atmosphere is cold, but it's the ability for the ground to lose the heat during the day. Because we had a lot of wind yesterday, that enabled the ground to basically stay somewhat above temperature, or at least at a warmer temperature, during that if you want to call it like that midnight time period. The coldest temperature I saw was way out in Rochelle, which was about 32 degrees, and a couple places even south of us, Dwight 35, which is down in eastern Illinois. Basically, everybody was generally about 4 or 5 degrees above freezing. I think we're past that little cool snap, and from here on out, looks like near or at least above average temperatures.
You know, it's really good to point out that the ground temperatures are warm. Mm-hmm. Folks get faked out by the air temperatures, and
right.
You know, I talk all the time about watering trees and shrubs as we go
this time of the year. Yeah,
right, because mm-hmm. the ground is still warm, the roots are still growing.
Yeah, and you know what? This is probably the most important time of the year to measure to water it, but don't do it too fast. Do it nice and slow. Because the soil, and I think I always look around, and you walk through Grant Park, and Mike, I've never seen the city gardens look as good as they have. Obviously, they've been getting tended to more so than the public gardens. But one thing I did notice when I was at Oakland Community College yesterday, I looked off to the north there along Central Avenue there, which is basically right at the northern edge of the Plains, and I would say 20% of the trees are already changing, and I think you can probably say the same thing, wouldn't you?
That sounds reasonable. I mean,
yeah.
Does it seem to be a little early?
Oh yeah. I'm looking up at places up in northern Michigan, northern Wisconsin. Already, there's a couple of counties way north already showing about 60% coverage or 60%. Well, I guess you can say 60% coverage out of turning. It's kind of weird when you look at some of these websites, how you get into these different numbers and things like that. But and as always, the mimosa trees tend to turn first, but obviously the maples tend to turn last. And I still predict that this season is going to be a lot earlier than in seasons in the past, without a doubt.
I agree with you there. I think you're right about that. Very quickly,
yeah.
You saw the news this week about the North Pole ice cap.
Oh, about the 47% shrinking, but I'm not worried about that.
Oh, you're not? Okay, fine. Let's move on to something else.
Did I say something I shouldn't have said? I'm sorry. yeah, go ahead, Mike. Let's talk about the ice cap.
No. I just... I'm sorry. You caught me off guard there. Yeah. No, but obviously that's a serious
right.
thing.
Yeah, you know, and again, it's one of these things where, you know, and I'm teaching my students in my climate change class, is that if you take 1% of the ice, okay, and you melt it down, what takes its place? Water, okay?
Okay.
If you lose 1%, you gain 1% of water. It's really like a net percent loss of almost 2% when you think about it that way. You lose 2% of ice, you gain 2% water. Water takes its place. Water is a much more higher heat capacity, so it tends to stay warmer a little bit longer. Obviously, at 32 degrees or above, where ice can get a lot colder, so this becomes a very, very important thing to think about, particularly when you head into the wintertime. Now, the one thing that I've seen, though, in the past, is that you really can't make forecasts long-term or even short-term over the changes in ice. What we really need to look at still, and we're still trying to figure this out, is how much, when that ice begins to break off and when that ice begins to melt, what does it do to the currents below the surface? Because that's the stuff that really governs the overall long-term climate. And we're still obviously, you know, trying to put back the pieces of when there was a huge ice shelf that broke off and altered the North Atlantic current, which eventually sent Europe into an ice age back in the early 1800s. Whether that's going to happen again, probably not, but it does lead to some sort of, you know, longer-term consequences once we kind of figure out the whole climate puzzle. But I think short-term-wise, tell you the truth, honestly and professionally, I look at that number and I go, okay, yeah, it's going in that direction, but I don't know if really much could be said of it.
Really? And it doesn't correlate to the warmest July in history?
You know what? I think if, you know, we could have had a cool July, and you look at that and you go, okay, yeah, but I just don't know if there's enough information out there. And from what I've seen, looking at academic articles, and I haven't seen anything that really says there's true evidence that points to it. So as much as I believe that there are some issues obviously relating to climate change and climate variability, I don't know if a warm July has anything to do with that in the short term. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, but the – okay. We're going to have this conversation again because the ice has been melting steadily over the last couple of decades.
I totally understand that. But one thing I always want to point out is we still don't know, I think, how that alteration in the ice pack – affects the pattern, and the pattern really has a lot to do with whether you're going to get warm or whether you're going to get cold. I always look back to the heavy snow and the cold that we had a couple of winters ago. We were actually in somewhat of a mild pattern, but because we had this ton of cold air that pushed all the way south into the United States, we got all the snow into the Northeast. So what we did was we painted ourselves in the corner as short-term climatologists is, oh, look at this, we're in a mild winter, no snow, or at least below normal snowfall, and we ended up getting record snowfall, and we got it wrong, and people basically nailed us. And then we went back and looked and said, yeah, you know what, you can still get snow in those type of patterns. So I refrain from going out and saying if that's the truth.
All right, you got about 30 seconds for a forecast here.
Yeah, and you know what, real quickly, Michigan apples and Wisconsin apples below harvest, and that's one of the reasons why you're paying so much right now at the store.
Yeah.
Cool today, and then generally temperatures above average over the next week to 10 days and near normal rainfall. So typical late September stuff. Happy autumn, Mike.
Wow, that was quick. I like the 15-second version. Okay, that's Rick DeMille. We will talk to you next week. You have a great week, okay?
You too, Mike.
Bye-bye. Second hour of the Mike Novak Show. Give us a call, 773. I know, Denny, we're going to get back to some of those calls. Oh, he's on the phone. He's on the phone even as we speak. 773-763-9278.
1, 2, 3, 4. Your whore and gay kill Buddha, please. Pity humble little peasants begging on her knees. Illusion fills my head like an empty can. I spent a million lifetimes loving the same man.
Whoa. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business's people and their love for trees. Here he is again, Mike Novak. Chinese blessing.
Hare Krishna, Hare Rama too. Govinda, I'm still in love with you.
Yeah, here we go. Like getting all worked up on a Sunday morning. In the studio with me today, Dan Costa from Vern Goer's Greenhouse in Hinsdale. And in just a little bit, we're going to talk about some of the things we've seen this year. Your questions are welcome at 773-763-9278. Sarah Batka is here also, Master Gardener Coordinator for Cook County. Is that okay? Do I get to use that title? Does that work for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have a more official title. What do you call yourself?
Just Sarah. I just call myself Sarah.
Nicely done. All right. And we have to do a check because we've been trying to get
Master Phone Screener Dennis.
I was thinking Senior Phone Screener.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Senior Phone Screener.
Senior Phone Screener Dennis. What are we up to on likes on your...
Well, if you had a drum roll, it'd be awesome, but I know you don't. But we are at 29. Oh, nice. 29. 29
wow.
likes.
Wow, 29. I
got to get Rick DeMaio to like it. I'm hoping DeMaio is a Facebooker.
I don't think DeMaio does any of this stuff.
Oh. Yeah,
I know he's not on Twitter.
Oh, he's not on Twitter.
No.
And by the way, that site you got to go to is Weekend for the Cheap.
Yes.
Weekend for the Cheap. On Chicago's Progressive Talk, WCPT. And, yep, you're up to 29 big likes there.
And
so
be like Laurel Nilsson, hopefully I said her name right, who gave a cheap gardening tip.
Yes. Why don't you read that for us, Denny?
Here's the tip from Laurel. Use the plastic jug from cat litter for a water can. Take off the lid and drill a bunch of small holes in it, and voila, water can for free. Save plastic and landfill, too.
Nicely done. I like that. The cat litter. Now, how many watering cans do you think she has?
I don't know. I bet she has a lot.
What would be better? See, now, this is where we have to go as a society. It would be better if you could go into PetSmart or a place like that, bring your old plastic jug that you got the cat litter in, go to a place where you can scoop cat litter and put it back in and just weigh it. And that way we're not creating all that plastic to end up in landfills, and we can reuse what we have. It's just ever since I had the woman on.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, my God. Are you the same way, Denny?
No, not at all. But I can tell that you have been thinking about this plastic situation.
I have ever since I had the woman on who wrote the book Plastic Free. I cannot stop thinking about everywhere I go. Every time I purchase something, it's encased in plastic, mm-hmm. something plastic about, and then it goes on and on and on. It's just insane. We got to break out of that. But I'll tell you what, Laurel Nilsson, that's a great tip for the cat litter watering can. We got to send her something.
Oh, nice.
We got to send her something. I'll tell you what.
It can't be too nice since it's, a weekend for the cheap. Can't be anything too extravagant.
Yeah, but I get free stuff.
Let's use it, baby.
What we could do, wow. And she just posted.
Sound like you stubbed your toe there. I was worried about
that. No, no. As I'm looking, it popped up on Facebook, and she writes, Laurel, at last count, she has 573 watering cans.
Wow.
Actually, she gives them away. Not only that, she's funny. All right, Laurel, I'm going to – I'll tell you what, since we're almost having like a conversation with her on Facebook, how about a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine? Here's what you need to do. Why don't you contact her, get her to send you her address if she wants that, and I can send that along. If not, I've got a book I can send. I think Wicked Bugs, Amy Stewart's cool book. So one or the other, Laurel, for being funny and giving us a great tip. I think that's fabulous. 773-763-9278. As you see, we engage in dialogue on Facebook as well and on Twitter. Annie's on the line. I'm going to get to her in just a second, but I wanted to get back. And Annie, hang on. I will be with you. Be patient. Snarky Vegan likes the music on the show today. How cool. Thank you. I always aims to please. Sarah was liking it, too. That was Pretenders that started the second hour. And then, of course, we had Build Me Up Buttercup, which is on the top.
It's good stuff.
100.
Mike, you have really good taste in music.
It's eclectic. You know what? I tend to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
And you like cake, too. You play cake a lot.
Oh. Yes, I like cake. I think cake. Oh, you mean the musical group. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
You should fill in for Dance Factory one night.
Thank you. No, thank you. We've gotten some great tweets here from Mud Baron is retweeting the Windy City Coop Tour and on Twitter. He's got that up there. If you go to Mike Now, you'll see that. But you can also go to my website, MikeNovak.net, and past shows. If you go to past shows, last week's show had all the information about the Windy City Coop Tour. So if you want to be involved in that today, that's one of the places you can go to get the information. And I think, Sarah, you've been posting some stuff on it too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, great. Healthy Dining Illinois tweet, enjoying the program this morning. So much great info.
Hey, Laura. Good morning.
Oh, it's a buddy, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know Laura. She also worked at Inspiration
Kitchens.
Oh,
right. Laura at and Inspiration Kitchens. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how
What
we
a great
met.
Place. If you get a chance, go have lunch or dinner at Inspiration Kitchens.
Mm-hmm. There's two locations, Garfield Park on Lake Street and Uptown. Both fantastic social enterprise restaurants.
Yeah, it's a great cause and great food. And are you still volunteering with them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. How did their garden do this year?
Oh, it's fantastic. Remember when we had Anna Maria Leon and Michael Webb in the studio?
Right.
And they've acquired a second site just around the corner. So I think it's maybe on St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. But the people should know that the Inspiration Cafe that we're talking about is on Lake Street,
mm-hmm.
right around the corner from Garfield Park Conservatory, and it would be easy to pass it by. So what I'm saying is you just go to the Garfield Park Conservatory and go east, and right on Lake Street it's a cool place to
it's
have.
It's 3504 West Lake Street.
There you go. All right, let's get to the phone, 773-763-9278. Bring in a person that I have meant to have on the program for a long, long time. And Annie, you know, you're not supposed to just plug your product all the time. It's like sometimes you gotta just say hello. How are you?
Hey, Mike, I'm doing fine. Well, it's hard, you know, when you are your product. It's just, you know.
But I do understand. It's like this is your life, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the show. She's calling from the wilds of California. Where exactly in California are you?
I'm in Southern California, about 80 miles north of San Diego and 60 miles south of Los Angeles.
Ah, okay, cool. What's the summer been like for you over there?
It has been brutally hot, and humid, which is something we're not really used to here, and I think that's kind of taken the toll on everything. But it's been unusually, we had no rain in the winter. So we went really from fall to summer.
Yikes.
We had 90-degree summer days. I had lilacs blooming at the end of December.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things you do, just tell me about your business, okay, a little bit, because I see it on Facebook and Twitter. I know a lot of people love your products. Tell me about them.
Well, what I raise is grass-fed livestock, no antibiotics, no growth hormones, no herbicides or pesticides used on the ranch. We harvest the manure by hand. We process it by hand. We package it by hand. You brew it as a tea. You can feed indoor plants, outdoor plants, hydrate your seeds. I've got Calic Cottage Farm in Florida, OC Garden Gen in California, both garlic growers. Soak the seed for 24 hours and have germination in 4 days as opposed to 10 to 15 days.
Wow, and they soak it in what, the manure tea?
You soak it in the manure tea. And then once you plant them, they soak them for 24 hours and then plant them. The smaller seeds take less time, four to five hours, 6 to 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then you plant them, and then you use the remainder of the manure tea to water off, and then you water them throughout the growing season. But, yes, it definitely does increase germination time. My family has with Haven Seed Company. We farmed and ranched since 1853. The company was incorporated. We were the largest producer of seed in the world. We supplied Landreth, Comstock Ferry, Atlee Burpee. You name it, we sold to them, and I'm fortunate enough that my family retained all of their records and would bind them into books at the end of the year. So I've been able to provide a lot of the seed companies handwritten correspondence between my great-grandfather and their companies, provided some to Landreth Seed where they were ordering, you know, 4,000 pounds of seed at a time.
Now, wow. That's amazing. Now, Landreth was ordering 4,000 pounds of seed from Haven.
from Haven Seed Company. I think the document on that one was 1912.
That's great. Where do you store all this stuff?
Well, I have a bulk of the family records here at the ranch, and then another balance of them with the Orange County Historical Society. And the documents, there's such a mass amount of them, they were housed for some time with Cal State Fullerton in their archives until the Orange County Historical Society added on another room.
That's just fascinating. You know, I have to go back to your statement when you talk about harvesting manure by hand. That's a figurative way of putting it, right?
Well, most people consider, when you're in a dairy, you're in a feedlot, they go in with the tractors and they scoop it up in the buckets and then they take it and they turn it and they mulch it. That's not how it's done here. We try to keep everything as natural as possible. So when I say we go out in the pastures and we harvest it by hand, we do.
That's amazing. That is just amazing. Well, if folks want to get a hold, now you say you can use this indoors, you can use it outdoors. How do you brew it?
Very simple. It comes in a tea bag, a 3x5 tea bag. You just fill up a 1 gallon or a 5 gallon bucket of water, depending on how many plants you have to feed. Toss the tea bag in. If you're using city water, I always suggest that you let the water set for 24 hours. But just toss the tea bag in, let it steep for 1 to 3 days, again, depending on how many plants. And then you water away. And the tea bag, once it's used up, you can dig a hole in your container plant, put it in there, throw it in your compost pile. It's 100% environmentally benign.
Well, I would think 100% environmentally productive.
Both ways. Yes, it is.
Well, Annie, it's always nice knowing that I've got my Left Coast friends out there listening, and you're obviously a great steward of the earth. You've got a great product. A lot of people are in touch with you and like you, and I am pleased to have you on the program. And if you're ever in Chicago, you have to stop in the studio.
Well, I'd love to. I know Mupu T has made it back there for the Chicago show, the IGC show with BBB Seeds the last 2 years. You know, having the ranch, it's a little difficult for me to get away. But hopefully, as, things go and the business grows, we'll be out and about.
So if people want to get some Mupu T, where do they go?
They can go to my website at manuretea.com.
Okay.
And always free shipping. Always try to send some type of a free gift along, whether it's an extra tea bag or maybe some seeds to get people growing. Also, Mike, for the Independent Garden Center, I have a wholesale buyers page online. I do not charge, there's no buy-in. It's free shipping. They can order one case. Whatever we need to do to get the product on the shelf and to the consumer.
You know, I have to admire, the fact that you are such an advocate of your own product. I mean, I know that it's hard running a family business. It's hard running any business. And the fact that you're always out there and you're always working it, I look at it as a positive thing. And I'm glad that you're doing that. And I hope that people take advantage of it. You can go to manuretea.com, take a look at it, order some stuff. If you do, if you're listening here and you order it and you try some of Annie's stuff and you like it, give me a holler. Let me know. I got to get me some of that too, Annie, because I haven't tried it yet. So,
well, I'll tell you that, Mike, I was so impressed with the woman and her tip on using the litter jug.
Yeah.
I would love to send a couple of 3-packs your way, and if you would forward one on to her, that way she can just fill her jug with water, pop in a tea bag, and water away.
Oh, that's a great idea. That is a great idea. I know she's going to be excited. She already wrote back to me and said she was very happy to get. I guess we're sending her the subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. I think that's what it is, Denny.
Yeah.
And now she's going to get some Mupu tea as well. All right.
I've got people, you know, in the gardening zones of the fours, fives, and sixes, feeding my manure tea to their overwintering plants. A beautiful letter was sent in to Jody Topier of westerngardener.com. A woman was just thrilled that she lost none of her overwintering plants. So Mupu tea just does its thing, and it's fun to share it. It's something that my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my father believed in. You know, the livestock that was used in the fields to harvest the seed, and then again the livestock that was raised to feed the workers. The manure was harvested. It was put back in. They never believed in the chemicals when they came out. So it's really an honor for me at this stage to be able to bring this product to the consumer.
I love it. And you can also go to Annie's Facebook page. Let's get you a few more friends. Just go to Annie Haven, H-A-V-E-N, and Annie is A-N-N-I-E. You've already got 2,600 people. Hey, Denny, see, you got
to do it.
Yeah, I know. We got Denny up to 29.
31.
31 now.
Yes, sir. Life is good in the phone screener booth.
Yes, it is. You mean the...
Open to share all my friends, because the more all of us are together talking, then the more people we get growing. We've got Giovanna Chapman in Boston, who has got the most fabulous little garden growing and a tiny little patio. Somebody you should have on the show, Mike, because this little gal's got it rocking.
Okay.
And doing it from her fig trees to her roses and containers. Fabulous. It's easy to do.
That sounds great. And, you know, perhaps... I've got Dan Costa in the studio. Perhaps, Dan, some Mupu tea for a bonsai.
Sure, why not? My dad used to make that kind of stuff when I was a kid.
There you go.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're going back to the future. And I think that's what we should be doing. Annie, a pleasure having you on. You have a great Sunday. I'm glad you're listening, and I'm sure that we will talk again soon.
You bet, Mike. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Studio, appreciate it. Have a wonderful day. Get out in the garden when you're done now.
Yeah, it's going to be a good day for it. It's going to be a beautiful day in Chicago. I don't know what it's like in California, but here it's going to be a lovely day.
Well, it's a little cooler today. We're finally getting that little taste of fall, and so I'm hoping the rains will come and I'll have to mow the fence lines by Halloween. That's how I judge a good winter.
So if she has to mow the fence line by Halloween, that's a great tip for all of those people who have fence lines. Not too many, but especially those in California. Annie, take care. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Mike. Happy fall, everybody.
Bye-bye. There she goes, Annie Haven. Go to, you can either go like her on Facebook, Annie Haven, or go to manuretea.com. And like I said, if you try it out, give me a shout and let me know. 773-763-9278 is the telephone number. Dan Costa is in the studio from Vern Goer's greenhouse in Hinsdale. And, of course, I have the lovely Sarah Batka, who's the Master Gardener Coordinator for Cook County. Let's go to the phones and bring in Terry in Indiana. Terry, are you with me?
I sure am. Good morning.
Good morning. What's up?
Well, I have several plants that I'm not sure what to do with coming, you know, the cold season. I have two knockout roses. One's a pink double and one's a white knockout, and also a hydrangea, and a couple rhododendrons that I planted this year. And I'm not sure if I should feed them, cut them down. Any of them down to a certain height, and hopefully they'll come back next year. That's what my goal is. So I was wondering, what should I do with those kind of plants I have?
Well, you mentioned roses. You said you had some knockouts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hydrangeas. Do you know what kind of hydrangeas you have?
It's an Invincibella.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Invinza Bell, I believe, isn't that the name of it?
Uh-huh, Invinza Bell. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you caught us earlier, but we were talking about pruning at this time of year. And Dan is just shaking his head, don't do it. See, you're
not any of those.
Right. You're thinking next year already. The problem is the plant is still trying to go to sleep. And when you start cutting a plant now, you're waking it up.
Yeah. And the rhododendron should have buds formed for next year already, so you'd be taking off the flowers.
Yeah, that's the And what about the Invincibelle? When does that produce? I can take a look at that.
I think it's in the spring.
Yeah, spring
and early
spring
summer.
And summer bloomer.
No. But I'm talking about when it produces the buds, because different hydrangeas do it at different times.
Right in the beginning of spring, I noticed it because I planted it late last fall.
Should produce buds through the season, actually. They can bud up during the summer as well as in the spring.
All right. I've got it, Invincibelle hydrangeas here. Okay, here we go. Invincibelle Spirit blooms on new wood. So that's good. So that means that you can cut it in the spring, and it should be fine. I don't know if they're is that a... an arborescence? I'm not sure. I think it might be.
I think it is.
Yeah, an arborescence, and you know, because it's an Invincibelle, that's like an Annabelle. Then those are the white ones, and those are, you know, you can trim those back. Some people trim them like to 6 inches from the ground. Some people like to leave a little sturdy frame for it.
You're better off that way.
Yeah, because what happens if you just let it? If you cut it all the way back, it's going to send up these shoots that are going to flop on you. But if you leave some of the wood up from last year, from this year, you know, then it hardens over the winter, and it gives you more of a frame to prop up the blooms. So in terms of the roses, what we're telling you, Terry, is don't prune them at all. You really don't have to prune. Don't prune the
rhododendrons.
Because those buds are already formed. If you want blooms next year, leave that. You know, the rule of thumb on pruning, and Dan will attest to, is right after it blooms.
Yeah, best time to do it.
So,
okay.
And then you're not cutting into the buds. Now, that being said, the knockouts are pretty tough. You can roller skate on them, okay? And they're still going to bloom. You know, we had some knockouts that were donated to my community garden this year, and they bloomed. We put them in the ground. We put them in the ground when it was hot. I mean, it was 95 and above, and we kind of went, all right, you're on your own. And you know what? They ended up blooming again.
Yeah, they're tough plants.
They are really tough plants. So my feeling is you leave them now. And then in the spring,
mulch them?
Yes, you can, yeah, definitely mulch.
Especially since they've just been planted this year.
That's the other thing. You can continue to water your plants. You know, all those plants that you put in the ground. When did you put them in, by the way?
The one knockout I put in about 3 weeks ago, the white one. The pink double I put in about 2 months ago. About 2 months ago.
So you really...
It's doing really well.
Yeah, you missed the most of the heat in the drought. But still, they're just getting established, so keep hydrating them. As we spoke earlier, the ground is warm, the roots continue to grow, and you can do that all the way up till when the ground freezes.
Okay.
But definitely mulch.
Mulch all of them?
All
three.
Yeah, just it'll help conserve water. The mulch will break down over the winter. You'll be providing nutrients to the root system. Yeah, and you should be fine. And then in the spring, you can, with the roses, the knockouts, prune to taste. It's basically how big do you want it? How small do you want it? You can, you know, with the knockouts, they're going to bloom all summer anyway. So what you do is you look for the deadwood first, and then you prune off the dead wood, you know, and you do that when you start to see the buds popping, the leaf buds.
Yeah, when new growth.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when you see the new growth, and then you look and you say, okay, there's no new growth here. That stem is dead. You can prune that back. And the point with those plants is that you can shape them however you want. They're pretty indestructible.
Okay, yeah, they're very pretty when they start blooming.
Yeah, they are. Oh, yeah. So there you go, Terry.
Okay, and the hydrangea, I just leave be until spring.
Yep, leave mm-hmm. till spring. And the hydrangea is kind of the same way as the rose, basically. It's like, how big a plant do you want? You know, you can watch the buds come out there. And if you want to, like I said, if you want to leave some of the stems from this year, it'll help give the plant a little more structure for next year.
Okay.
But you can really prune it. You know, it's kind of up to you with that in the spring. But I would wait till spring.
And then the hostas, I had Earth Angel hostas that I planted this year, but last year, and they came up, and they looked really nice. Do I do anything with them? Because last year I just let them be.
Just take off the dead foliage at the end of the season. They'll probably turn yellow after a little while, and then they'll start to die, and then you can just clean that up.
Yeah, you know, usually with a hosta, what I do is I wait. It depends on the hosta because some won't get large, but the ones that do, after a few years, you can divide it. And then create other hostas, move them around the yard. I mean, that's one of the great things about a hosta is that when it gets really, really large, then in the spring,
you can divide a hosta pretty much throughout the summer.
Yeah.
I just like to do it in the spring when the little shoots are just starting to come out of the ground because it's just easier at that time.
Yeah, because you can see where it's coming up. So mm-hmm. when it gets large in the spring, you carefully divide it up. with me, I usually take a shovel and hack it. But they tell you not to do that in the books, but that's what I do. But
fast and efficient.
Don't look at me like that, Sarah, because I know that, you know.
No, I'm heavy-handed in the garden too.
Yeah, usually we're moving fast, and when you got that shovel, you hack it in half, and then you do it. But for right now, I would say just leave your hosta alone, let it grow, and you'll have more in the years to come.
Okay, and what do I do about my lawn? I have.
that was last week's show, Terry. Yeah.
25 by 25. What do I do now? It looks pretty good now. It does need some a good weed kind of things, you know, to put in there. There's a few weeds.
You know, if there's only a few weeds, if there's a few weeds, dig them out. I would say go in there by hand, dig them out, and then when you do that, overseed. If you have a little bare area, now's the time to throw some seed down and get it to germinate because it's cool weather. The soil stays moist longer. The seeds germinate more consistently. And I would throw some compost on first, like a quarter inch to half an inch of compost. Since you're only 25 by 25, that's not very much. Nice fine sifted compost. And then throw the seed down. Make sure it's got good contact with the compost. Keep it watered. You will have a little more thickness in your turf as you go into the spring.
Do I use a spreader to spread the seed, or just use my hands?
You can do either. You got a small area. It's not going to. Yeah. Probably don't put too much seed down. You know, look at what the recommended rates are when you get your seed. But for a small area, I don't think it's necessary to have a spreader. But if you want one, you could probably create one like out of the kitty litter container,
exactly.
that we had. Another use for the kitty litter. But it's really, Dan's over here. He's doing spreading by hand. So am I. That's what I would do. So there you go, Terry. I got to let you go.
Okay.
We got some other calls, but thank you so much. You have a great Sunday, okay?
Oh, thanks. You too. It's glorious outside.
Yeah, it is. All right. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, we got all of she handled all of the garden questions today. Actually, we've got Laura in Chicago. We'll get to her in just a second. You're listening to the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And speaking about lawns,
summer has arrived, and for many gardeners, that means heat, drought, and watering bans. Help your landscapes thrive despite these seasonal challenges with proper care and Milorganite fertilizer. Hi, I'm gardening expert Melinda Myers. Mulch the soil with a layer of organic material to conserve moisture, reduce weeds, and improve the soil as it breaks down. Water plants thoroughly and less frequently whenever you irrigate the garden.
This encourages deep roots, making your plants more drought tolerant and pest resistant. Water early in the day to reduce water loss to evaporation. And be sure to use Milorganite for all your summer fertilization needs. The organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn plants even during drought. Milorganite remains in the soil until the conditions are right for plant growth, including your lawn, so there's no need to water it in. Plus, the 4% non-staining iron promotes deep green growth. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com for a garden center near you. That's Milorganite.com.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the Greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees and the Morton Arboretum. We were talking about trees in the fall. Fall can be a good time to plant many species of trees, and now is the time to plant for, well, you could do it now. And when you do, think about diversity. In the past, we have seen serious problems arise when we have too many of the same trees in the landscape. Dutch elm disease was able to spread rapidly because elms were so widely planted. Emerald ash borer has become a major problem quickly since ash trees are abundant in the landscape, and many of those replaced the elms. Do you see a pattern here? Several years ago, the U.S. National Arboretum proposed this. I don't know if you've heard of this, Dan and Sarah. The U.S. National Arboretum proposed a 10-20-30 formula, which suggests planting no more than 10% of a single tree species, no more than 20% of species within any tree genus, and no more than 30% of the species within any tree family within a certain area.
That would make good sense.
It makes too much sense, so nobody's going to do it.
Of course,
okay?
It's right. Too logical.
And now, if you can't follow that, here's a simple rule. See what trees your neighbors have in their yard and then plant something else. There you
good
go.
Idea.
Do you like that one, Sarah?
Yeah, that's good.
I think it's a great idea. And then, of course, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. The Mike Novak Show, playing your garden oldies all Sunday long. I don't know. I just kind of got, I just grabbed a few of these songs that, you know, I was just listening to the radio and going, I want that on my show. So, you know, I should probably give a prize if somebody could tell me who sang this. Anybody in the room? No? Know the answer?
Sounds like James Brown to me.
Oh, no. He does a spotlight on James Brown, y'all. So, No. It's,
you know, but nobody, you know?
Oh, I know, but I don't want, I don't want to give it away.
Oh, okay.
That's Arthur Conley. So, see, there you go. I think he's a one-hit wonder, if I'm not mistaken. 773-763-9278. Let's take another call, and then we're going to get to some of the events coming up next week. Laura, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Good morning. My question is on roses. I have four roses. I don't know what kind they are. Two of them are alike. They're a pink color. One is a rose color, and one is red. I think two of them, the rose color and the red, might be climbing roses because the branches are so very long. They are very old roses. I've been living here in Chicago for 33 years on this property, and the roses were here before I moved in, except for one, which was even older than that, because I got it from a neighbor from her garden. And over the years, black spots have been developing on the leaves, which eventually turn yellow and fall off. And this year, I noticed that the leaves were chewed on, but I can't find any bugs on them. And I wondered if you could tell me, what is it, and how is it caused, and what can I do to treat it?
Well, first of all, little plant ID, let me ask you a question about the roses. Do they bloom all summer long or just once and done?
Just once.
Yeah, so I figure you, it sounds like a rambler to me.
Yeah, old antique type of a rose.
Yeah.
Some sort.
And because I've got a rambler in my yard. It's pink. It blooms once around the middle of June, and mm-hmm, then it's
exactly.
Then it's no, not much of a scent, I would assume.
No.
Yeah, yeah. You got a rambler there, yeah, it's an old time rose, and you know, it's one of the reasons that these newer roses have been developed because people wanted to see blooms all year long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the heart to rip it out.
No,
because it was the only thing in my yard when I moved in there. So I just kind of let it go. And in fact, I think this year is the year I'm just going to hack it back, you know, all the way. Like, I'm just going to just say, you're on your own, pal, and I'm just going to hack that thing to the ground. You really should do that right after it blooms if you want mm-hmm. blooms. But at this point, I don't care. It's just sort of overrun everything. But, Dan, can you address the disease and insect issues?
The insect problem is probably Japanese beetles. They were extremely popular this year. Everybody seemed to have some.
Yeah.
I'm going to second that diagnosis.
Yeah, I would think that was most likely because they really made lace out of a lot of the plants, and they hung around extremely long this year. So that was probably that. There's really not too much you can do with those.
Well, will my roses die from those?
No.
No. You said you had some bite marks in there, some holes. You know, mm-hmm. some
and around the edges.
Yeah, but yeah. You know what? If that's all the damage you had, really, you don't have a problem with the Japanese. Because as Dan said, they can turn some plants into lace.
Oh yeah, they terribly.
Just, yeah. Now there are treatments you can do, but you know, it doesn't sound like you have enough damage to even worry about. Mm-hmm. Where is it you live?
In Chicago, on the northwest side, in the Galewood section.
Yeah, and I found in Chicago. Now I'm in Logan Square. I never see Japanese beetles in Logan Square. I have not. I know. And Dan's like, really?
You want some? I'll send you some.
Yeah, no. Please don't. And I know that they are in other parts of the city. Sarah, do you get Japanese beetles down your way?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're in far south.
Mm-hmm. Beverly area. Mm-hmm.
In heavy infestations of Japanese beetles or moderate or what?
I would say moderate.
Yeah. Because I don't know why they don't seem to be as much in the city, but I have not. You know, I'm knocking on wood here because I don't want to have to deal with this next year. So I would suspect, Laura, that the problem out your way is probably not serious enough for you to use chemical treatments.
No, we recommend if you do see Japanese beetles on your roses or other plants, just get a bucket of soapy water and just shake them off into the bucket of soapy water.
Well, I haven't seen one beetle at all, mm-hmm. and I will take a chair and sit up there.
Really?
My
okay.
Rose and just hope that I can find something.
Okay, and as for the black spot?
Yes.
Well, that's a fungal disease that attacks roses. It's very common on most roses. The knockout series is one of the very few that does not get it.
This year... Knockouts, because of the weird spring we had, mm-hmm. Knockouts had all kinds of fungal problems. They had rust mm-hmm. on them earlier in the season and other issues. It was just
some mildew.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Of course, once we got to the hot, dry weather, those leaves fell off and then the new leaves came and they were just mm-hmm. fine.
Yeah. You can use a fungicide for it.
A fungicide?
Mm-hmm. But you have to use it throughout the summer season. It's basically a weekly application.
But the other thing you can do is clean up Mm-hmm. You know, what you want to do this time of year as the leaves are falling off the plants,
mm-hmm.
get them out of there. Get them out of your yard. Just clean yeah. them up and get them out. And don't throw them in a compost pile because they will spread spores
mm-hmm.
And cause more fungal problems. So this is the one of the few times I recommend people bag it in plastic and just
get rid of it.
Get rid of it. Throw it away. Mm-hmm. That should help somewhat. Because what happens is those leaves fall to the base of the plant. They have the fungal disease on them. It rains. The spores spring up, and they reinfect the plant next year. That's why you want to get rid of all of the leaves from the plants this fall. So do a nice, good cleanup in the fall.
And now will this fungus kill the plants?
No.
No.
No, black spot will not kill it. It'll just make them look ugly.
Yeah, so
roses are tough. They're sturdy plants.
Yeah, they are, especially those old ramblers. Some of those old mm-hmm. plants, they just I get powdery mildew on mine, and I go, oh well,
yeah.
You know what you're gonna do. so there you go, Laura.
Well, thank you very much. I'm enjoying your show.
Well, thank you for calling in. We really appreciate it. You have a great Sunday. Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye. 773-763-9278. Let me take care of some biz. We've got a couple more calls coming in, so let's you know just as we get rolling. Just as we got to get out of here, the calls start to come in. That's the way it always works. If you're a gardener and you're not thinking spring blooming bulbs right now, what's wrong with you? A great catalog for your collection is the D. Landreth Seed Company Heirloom Bulb Collection featuring garlic and flowers. I thought it was really cool. Annie Haven talking about how Landreth had ordered thousands of pounds of seed from the Haven Company. Decades and decades ago, that was pretty cool. Because Landreth, of course, has been around for, well, since before our country became a country, 1784. It depends on where you count the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. All right, there we go. The catalog was created to provide gardeners with a source for antique varieties of flower and garlic bulbs, many of which are difficult to find elsewhere. The 2012 version contains 10 varieties of heirloom garlic and more than 130 varieties of heirloom flower bulbs. Most of these species will return year after year, and most will multiply rapidly and naturalize beautifully into your landscape. If you're worried about deer, squirrels, chipmunks, and rabbits wreaking havoc with your bulbs, well, Landreth has included a page devoted to flower bulbs that are remarkably resistant to animal damage. Here's a hint. Narcissus, Muscari.
Alliums,
Fritillaria. Those are bulbs that the critters don't like quite as much. And as always, Landreth does it with class. The catalog has been illustrated with antique watercolors from the private collection of the International Bulb Center in the Netherlands. Log on to LandrethSeeds.com, find them on Facebook, or call 800-654-2407. D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784, and tell them Mike sent you.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545. Or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
If you didn't get to the Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center Fall Harvest Sidewalk Sale last week, boy, are you in luck. They've extended it through this weekend. Plants, pots, and garden decor discounted by up to 90%. They have blue, gray, white, pie, and orange carving pumpkins. Sounds cool. Not to mention the amazing variety of gourds and adorable mini pumpkins to choose from. Buy your fall accents in groups of threes and receive a discount. Includes full-size pumpkins, gourds, corn stalks, and hay bales. They have the widest variety of mums and asters you've ever seen, every color of the rainbow, and anywhere from 3-inch pots to their huge 14-inch pot bombers. And, of course, next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, September 29th and 30th, it's the annual Fall Festival. Come by both days between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. for family fun, including a farm petting zoo, balloon tying, face painting, pumpkin decorating and carving, fall planting demonstrations, scarecrow making, tasty treats, and more. Are you okay over there?
Yes. My neighbor's on line three.
Yeah, Frank.
Oh, dear. Okay, we'll have to get to that quickly. Meanwhile, go to Facebook and like Christy Weber Farm and Garden Center, or go to ChristyWeber.com and click on Garden Center, or just stop by 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village. Look for the explosion of color.
I was blinded by the devil, born already ruined. I stepped out of the womb. By his grace I have been touched. By his word I have been healed. By his hand I've been delivered. By his spirit I've been sealed. I've been saved.
And sometimes I play song with a sense of irony behind them. So here we go. I see Lady B in the studios digging it. Okay, cool. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We got some phone calls to get to. Before we do, let's quickly go through some stuff coming up next week. First of all, start Dan Costa, who is with the Prairie State Bonsai Society. Mm-hmm. We talked bonsai in the first hour. Yeah. But if people want to find out more about it, they can go to the Morton Arboretum next weekend.
Come to the Morton Arboretum on Saturday and Sunday this coming weekend, 29th and 30th. Our club will be out there for our annual show. It's 10 to 4 both days. We will have a display of trees belonging to the members, including the ones that I brought in today. Those will likely get in the show, and some of my other trees.
And you got to see them, and they're beautiful. I want to just leave them here and decorate the studio. Of course, they would die.
They wouldn't live here very long.
No.
But we will also have demonstrations going on. We have 2 demonstrations each day. I'm told that my demonstration will be next week on Sunday at 11 o'clock.
Now, I was looking on the flyer you sent me. I didn't see your name on the demonstration list.
No, we didn't list them on there.
Oh,
but,
okay.
We will have myself and Phil Maliot, who's our president, will be doing a demonstration on Saturday. And then we will have the guy from Cass Bonsai, Brian, will be doing a demo. And
when you say demo, it's like how to prune, how to plant,
We have a tree that's partially done, like what we call pre-bonsai. It's had some minor work done to it. And then we work on that tree in front of everybody and show how to style it, how to shape it, how to decide what the shape will be, pruning and wiring the tree, and getting it basically set up to the start of its bonsai career. So you get to see the actual formation of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing one on Sunday at 11. So immediately after Mike's show, you can come and watch
there
that.
There you go.
And then we'll also have workshops going on. And
now, some of the workshops you have to pay to get into, right?
Right. You have to register for those through the Morton Arboretum website, through their registrar.
And I have that website. I have the link. Go to MikeNovak.net. Mm-hmm. This week's show, all the links are there.
Mm-hmm. And two of them have closed, the sweet plum and the crab apple.
Oh, that's
have filled.
You're using prairie fire crab.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one in my backyard.
Very nice tree.
It's a beautiful
Very
tree.
Nice
Never
tree.
Gets disease.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best shape in the world, mm-hmm. but actually a really nice, beautiful blooms in the spring.
But growing it as a bonsai, you can shape it as you
well,
like.
Well, that's true, yes.
And with
it's a little
workshop,
late for that, though, for me.
Well, with a workshop, you get to work with a master for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And they help you to design and shape the tree. And then you also get the tree to take home. That's your
that's
tree
cool.
after that.
That's great.
So it's always a nice way to get started. And there'll be lots of people there that you can ask questions.
Sure. So some of this is free, or you pay for parking at the Wharton Arboretum?
Yeah,
is
well, members get in for free. Otherwise, you got to pay to get into the Arboretum, but there's no charge for the show.
Right.
We do have vendors. They'll be selling trees and equipment, tools, and books and things.
Yeah, okay.
And like I said, we'll have members there to answer questions.
All right, great. And that's all next week, 10 to 4, Saturday and Sunday at the Wharton Arboretum. Mm-hmm. Also, Sarah, what you got? You were talking about the Global Citizen Green Apple Day of Service next week.
Right. There's a lot of events going on for volunteer opportunities. You can help volunteer, and these are open to the public. And you're welcome to join University of Illinois Extension Master Gardeners to help install a rain garden at either Paul Revere School in Blue Island, and that's at 2300 West 123rd Place down in my neighborhood.
And, when is that?
That's Saturday, September 29th at 9 a.m. So I'll be there over at Paul
Revere. So if you want to meet Sarah.
Yeah, come and help us build a rain garden. And I'm going to go ahead and post the links on Twitter. But if you're not on Twitter.
And if can you post them on the Mike Novak show as well? Would you do that?
Oh, I think you did.
Oh, did I? Oh, is this the same? Is it already on? I've got it on my website?
I think so.
All right. So go to my website. If you go to, because I know I posted the Green Apple Day of Service.
Right. This is all the same thing. There's also another site that's a national program.
Got it.
And this is the second site is Academy for Global Citizenship, and that's on the southwest side.
Yeah, they've been on the show. It's a really cool charter school, you know, where they're teaching kids how to learn about environmentalism and sustainability. And, I mean, they like when they're standing in line, they see the energy readout from the roof and things like that. It's just unbelievable.
And they have chickens at their schoolyard as well.
You love the chickens. Your chickens are producing eggs now.
They are. Yep. This is the first week I got some eggs. So thank you, ladies. I appreciate it.
Okay. And that information for that. And I wanted to also mention that Greentown Valparaiso is happening next Friday, September 28th. On the campus of Valparaiso University in Indiana. Oklahoma City Mayor Mick Cornett is going to be there. I didn't know this. In 2010, he was the public official of the year because basically he decided he was fat and his city was fat. So he decided he was going to remake Oklahoma City as a walkable urban center. It was a $777 million plan, which included a new downtown streetcar system, sidewalks, a 60-mile network of bicycle trails and walking paths, a new convention center, and a new 70-acre park downtown. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, now, which is kind of cool because that's where Kathleen is from. And so he kind of transformed Oklahoma City. And so there we go. And that's this Friday. And that's also on my website. And finally, Gibson Woods Wild Ones, 4th Biennial Native Plant Symposium. Next Saturday, September 29th, 8 to 12:30 at the St. John Township Center, 1515 West Lincoln Highway in Schererville, Indiana. We got a lot of Indiana stuff here, so that's great. And that information is up there, too. All right. I wanted to real quickly get a couple of phone calls in here. Is that Dan or Don in Chicago?
Hey, it's Dan.
Dan, and you got a green tip for us.
A green economical garden tip. This is probably well known to people who've been doing it for a while, but I'm an environmentalist. My wife, who threw some seeds for the first time in the ground this year, in the end of July, we put about a half a pack of heritage butternut squash seeds in, and we have just harvested about 60 pounds of the most beautiful, tasty squashes for a half a pack of seeds. It's quite amazing. The only proviso is they wilt the rest of the garden is gardened by in a condo, and it's a beautiful English garden, and the squashes can cover. I learned since then an acre. It started to take over everything and squash, and I had to actually cut it back. But what an output!
That's great.
60-some pounds.
Unbelievable.
Well, virtually no work. We watered it when during the drought, but that was about it.
Well, congratulations and thanks. I appreciate the tip. I'm going to move on to the next call, Dan, and I appreciate you calling. Let's go to line three, and this is Frank.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Is this Sarah?
Good.
Frank, you got like 20 seconds. I guess you were just going to say hi, huh?
And I want to know if Sarah shared any of the chicken's eggs with you.
Not yet. My brother gets the first eggs because he built the coop.
He built the coop, so
right.
Her brother gets the eggs first.
Well, stand in line.
Thanks for calling, Frank.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye. And before we go, I got a tip from David Zaber, my skulking friend in Madison, Wisconsin. He says, let evening primrose grow in the garden. It will attract Japanese beetles. You can then shake them into soapy water. They seem to like yellow flowers as well, he says here. And Annie Haven has posted a thing from 1912. Go to my page, Mike Novak, and she's got one of those letters. Pretty cool. Dan Costa from Vern Goers, thank you. We didn't get to Vern Goers' big event coming up. We don't have time. Sarah Batka.
6th of October.
I'll talk about it next week. Go green or
go home.
Go home.